from ABC News. World News This Week. I'm Chuck Sievertson in New York. Coming up,
I have seen no evidence that the Chinese government has access to that data. They have never asked us. We have not provided.
Well, you know what?
I've asked that question.
I find that actually preposterous.
Grilling the head of TikTok on Capitol Hill. Another week, another mass shooting.
I rushed over here for the fourth time this year to get my son out of a lockdown. It's got to stop. I can't take it anymore.
Potentially deadly bacteria in eye drops.
Check your medicine cabinet to see if you might have any of these products.
Making beautiful music in the face of dementia. The people and events that made headlines when World News This Week continues.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The grilling was intense, and the positions appeared to be ironclad on Capitol Hill this week. The CEO of TikTok facing lawmakers on the House Energy and Commerce Committee about whether the popular social media platform is beholden to its parent company, which is based in China. Committee Chair Kathy McMorris Rogers of Washington saying several times that TikTok is a conduit for China, allowing it to surveil and misinform millions of American users.
It's been said it's like allowing the Soviet Union the power to produce Saturday morning cartoons during the Cold War.
But CEO So Chu trying to convince the panel that the Chinese government doesn't influence the company.
ByteDance is not owned or controlled by the Chinese government. It's a private company. 60% of the company is owned by global institutional investors. 20% is owned by the founder, and 20% owned by employees around the world.
Another issue with lawmakers, where the data is physically stored. ABC's Mike Dubusky explains.
Lawmakers' concerns center around the potential for American user data to find its way back to the Chinese government. TikTok's leader, Shouzi Chu, is pushing back, saying the company stores the information it collects on U.S. users in the United States on servers operated by American tech firm Oracle.
The bottom line is this. American data stored on American soil by an American company, overseen by American personnel.
When pressed, Chu did say some older American data is still stored overseas. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
More from ABC's Rachel Scott.
For more than 5 hours, CEO Shou Chu defended the wildly popular app and its Chinese parent company ByteDance, insisting the platform had taken steps to protect the data of its millions of American users.
There are more than 150 million Americans who love our platform, and we know we have a responsibility to protect them. We will firewall protected U.S. data from unwanted foreign access.
But there are serious questions about whether the Chinese government would ever respect that firewall. Lawmakers weren't buying it.
You spoke in your opening statement about a firewall relative to the data. But the Chinese government has that data.
I have seen no evidence that the Chinese government has access to that data. They have never asked us. We have not provided.
Well, you know what?
I have asked that question.
I find that actually preposterous.
One member after another grilling Chu on whether TikTok and its Chinese parent company had spied on Americans, something the Department of Justice is investigating.
Has ByteDance spied on American citizens?
I don't think the spying is the right way to describe it.
Chu was asked directly if he agreed with top U.S. intelligence officials that China could use TikTok as a tool to manipulate millions of Americans.
Do you disagree with their statement?
Their statement says could. So
do you disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree.
But it wasn't just lawmakers expressing concerns over TikTok. Parents also on Capitol Hill saying that the platform, through its algorithms, promotes dangerous and sometimes deadly viral challenges to kids and teens. Kara Frederick is the director of the Tech Policy Center at the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank in Washington. She tells reporters that it's not much of a stretch to believe that China could manipulate those algorithms.
There are facts, right? There are facts that the parent company, ByteDance, is headquartered in China, that it's subject to the laws and policies of the PRC. Foremost among them is the 2017 National Intelligence Law, which compels private organizations to contribute to state intelligence work. So we know that there's a direct amount of Chinese control over this platform.
It all comes as lawmakers try to decide what to do next. The Biden administration has said that ByteDance should sell off TikTok or else face a ban in the U.S. ABC's Jay O'Brien spoke to Brad Milkey of our Start Here podcast about whether a ban is likely and what some TikTok influencers have been saying.
Lawmakers saying to millions of younger Americans who use this app that you might not be worried about this now, but you might be one day.
Okay, but it's still up to this company whether they sell their app to somebody else. That's what the Biden administration says they have to do, or they'll ban it. But would the government, would Congress, would President Biden, would they actually take the step of banning this thing?
That's the debate that's happening right now in Congress. If the Biden administration were to choose to ban TikTok, a lot of legal experts say that that is a rocky legal road because of certain laws that protect the free flow of information and certainly the First Amendment as well. And TikTok has used those laws previously to protect itself in court. But there are efforts in Congress to create new laws that would just straight up ban TikTok, some of them, and others would allow the Biden administration more authority to regulate TikTok and to potentially ban it. And it's really hard to understand how it would even work because this is so new. This is such a novel concept. Like, you could take it off the App Store, some speculate, but maybe that would still preserve TikTok on the phones that already had it. You could stop certain kinds of transactions relating to TikTok. And they say, by the way, TikTok's point of view in all of this is that they believe they're doing everything they can to protect U.S. user data. They say that they are not influenced by any foreign government. And they even said in relation to that hearing that the day was, and I'll quote them directly here, the day was dominated by political grandstanding. Mm. So they are saying that Congress really took this and made it political, despite the fact that we saw really bipartisan support to do something about TikTok.
But then that makes me think, like, if TikTok is standing up, essentially saying, like, sorry, you can't make us sell anything, it makes me wonder if this ban would become a more real thing. But, Jay, the thing that's shocking about this to me is usually when Congress gets all upset about an industry, it's because everyone else, all their constituents are upset about the industry, right? Like, constituents are upset about airlines. So we're going to have a hearing on airlines. Well, if usership numbers are worth anything, Americans love TikTok, right? So how would users react here?
There are 150 million estimated Americans on TikTok. There were influencers who flocked to Capitol Hill to try to lobby lawmakers and say, don't take away this beloved app. Some people said that it helped them grow their business, that they get sales through TikTok that they would never get otherwise. Other influencers said this is their primary source of income. There's a whole industry around being a TikTok influencer, Brad.
The last 2.5 years, we've been able to sell 30,000 greeting cards, and 95% of our orders come from TikTok.
So I talked with one creator. Her name is Callie Goodwin. She sells greeting cards on her TikTok account.
Our cards are less than $3 and they come pre-stamped.
And she says lawmakers just don't understand how the app is used by average Americans. And she's trying to get that message across that it is safe.
I think we're talking about things that are hypothetically an issue, but have not actually proven to be a security threat or an issue at this point.
I also spoke with another dancing creator. His name is Imani Carrier. And he acknowledged there are security concerns with TikTok, but he says there are also positives too, and he wants members of Congress to acknowledge that.
It's completely changed my life all around. Like, being a shy kid, it's given me the opportunity to really promote just who I am as a person.
And so the question is, what does Congress do to respond to that? We asked one lawmaker, Troy Nels, who's a staunch Republican, what his response is to those influencers.
Those influencers, Congressman, it's their livelihood. What's your message to them?
Find another job.
But then there are other questions as to what Congress would do here.
China says it would oppose any efforts by the U.S. to force ByteDance to sell TikTok. And in the wake of the House hearing, Utah becomes the first state to legislate social media regulations. Here's ABC's Brian Clark with that.
Parental consent would be required for minors to use social media apps like TikTok in a bill signed by Utah Governor Spencer Cox. This first-of-its-kind legislation also restricts usage. Kids under 18 could not be on social media between 10:30 p.m. and 6:30 a.m. This would require age verification for anyone who wants to use social media, but it's not clear how this would be enforced. Utah is first, but other states, led by both Republicans and Democrats, are planning similar legislation. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Also this week, the U.S. paying close attention to a high-stakes meeting between China's President Xi Jinping and Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow. The war in Ukraine was a large part of the talks, with both leaders discussing a peace plan. ABC's Karen Travers with more.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby calling it a marriage of convenience.
President Putin sees a potential backer here. This is a man who doesn't have a whole lot of friends on the international stage. They can count him on one hand, mostly. And he really needs and wants President Xi's support for what he's trying to do.
Asked if the U.S. agreed with Russia's characterization of China as impartial in the war in Ukraine, Kirby said no, noting that China has not condemned Russia's invasion. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
The meeting happened right as Russia was launching more attacks in Ukraine. But ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge also says that the Ukrainian forces who were trained on the Patriot missile defense systems in the U.S. could be ready to use them soon. Pentagon officials say the systems will arrive in Ukraine in the coming weeks.
The U.S. and its allies have provided Ukraine with an array of air defense systems, but the Patriots are right at the high end. It is a complex system. The Ukrainians will have to decide where to deploy it. For example, they could choose to place it in or around a city like Kyiv, and that would dramatically bolster the defenses of this city. It would protect key assets and, of course, that critical infrastructure like power stations, which Russia has been trying to strike again and again throughout the winter.
Retaliation from U.S. forces after a deadly strike on service members in Syria.
The Pentagon says a suspected Iranian drone strike targeted a coalition base in northeast Syria Thursday, killing a U.S. contractor and wounding five service members and another contractor. In a statement, the Defense Department says it believes it was an unmanned aerial vehicle of Iranian origin. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says U.S. Central Command forces retaliated with what he said were precision strikes against facilities in eastern Syria used by groups connected to Iran. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz says hundreds of U.S. service members and contractors have been fighting against ISIS in the region.
There are some 900 American forces in Syria as part of a counter-ISIS force. They include special operations forces, active duty, National Guard, and those contractors who are a vital part of the mission. But they're under constant threat. Since early 2021, they have been targeted 78 times by drones and rockets by these proxy groups, and sadly this latest claiming the life of the American.
In France, protests over a proposal to raise the retirement age reach a fever pitch. Clashes between police and demonstrators escalate with hundreds of arrests. ABC's Marcus Moore says it's even postponing a planned trip from Britain's King Charles.
According to authorities, more than 400 officers were injured in the midst of these violent protests. Now, people here are angry. They are upset about President Emmanuel Macron's plan that will raise the minimum retirement age from 62 to 64. He says it is to protect the entire pension system, but people are so upset about the fact that he's implemented this plan and that also it was pushed through without a full vote in Parliament.
President Biden in Canada this week announcing new asylum guidelines alongside Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. ABC's Terry Moran says both leaders have been facing political pressure to stem the tide of migrants trying to cross their borders.
Under this deal, Canada will now be allowed to turn back migrants who are seeking asylum and who enter Canada from the U.S. at unofficial crossing points. Previously, only those who entered at formal border crossings were turned back. And in exchange, Canada will now launch, has agreed to launch, a new legal refugee program for 15,000 migrants from Central and South America. That's expected. It's hoped it will take some of the pressure off the overwhelmed southern U.S. border.
I rushed over here for the fourth time this year to get my son out of a lockdown. It's got to stop. I can't take it anymore.
Anger and exhaustion from members of a high school community in Denver this week after police say a student opened fire, injuring two administrators. ABC's Alex Stone says the teen was found dead hours after the shooting.
The 17-year-old, who police say was a shooter at Denver's East High School, was expelled from Overland High School in nearby Aurora last year after violating school policy there. Law enforcement sources tell ABC News he was charged with possession of a dangerous weapon in 2021 in Arapahoe County. It's unclear if that's what led to him being dismissed from Overland High School, but sources tell ABC News school leadership described him as being potentially violent and a threat to the safety of the school. He was relocated and ended up at East High School under a plan in which he was searched for weapons every day. Alex Stone, ABC News.
It's prompted protests for gun reform and more calls for safety. ABC's Mola Lenghi with more.
In the wake of the shooting, officials announcing school resource officers from the Denver PD will now be posted at all public high schools after they were removed back in 2020. But parents still concerned.
How do we just send them here and cross our fingers?
Sophomore Grace Tov says the threat has become part of everyday life at East High.
This is so normal at this point. And it's not an East problem. This is a district problem, a city problem, a national problem.
Both victims now recovering.
This as an appeals court in Michigan rules that the parents of the suspected shooter at Oxford High School will go to trial. Here's ABC's Trevor Ault.
James and Jennifer Crumbly have pleaded not guilty to four counts each of involuntary manslaughter for what prosecutors say was their responsibility in their son's 2021 massacre, killing four students and injuring seven others. Prosecutors say the Crumblys denied Ethan's request for psychological help, and soon after, Ethan's father bought him the weapon used in the shooting. Prosecutors say before the shooting, Ethan's mother laughed off a report from the school saying Ethan was researching ammunition in class, and say the day of the massacre, they declined to take him home after he was caught drawing a person shot.
In Los Angeles, workers with the LA Unified School District on strike for 3 days this week, demanding higher wages and better working conditions. The workers included bus drivers, teachers' aides, and custodial staff, but thousands of teachers also joined them on the picket lines. Many workers say they are making wages at or below the poverty line. Bus driver Loretta Painter-Powell says low staffing conditions are also affecting students.
We have to do our regular trip that we bring our one load of students in, and because there's a shortage, often we have to go back and pick up more students, which they come to school late then because there's not enough staffing to get them all in on time.
The district offered a 23% pay raise, but the union said it wasn't enough.
Definitely check your medicine cabinet to see if you might have any of these products that are in your home. And if you do, discard of them right away.
That's ophthalmologist Dr. Ashley Brissett telling ABC News that a devastating bacteria has found its way into certain brands of eye drops. More from ABC's Derek Dennis.
Warnings about dangerous eye drops. Three people have died and more have lost their sight using drops contaminated with an aggressive bacteria. One woman seriously affected, 68-year-old Clara Oliva. She had to have one eye removed, and since her vision is so bad in the other, she's now virtually blind. Natasha Cortez is her lawyer.
Difficulties relearning how to do a lot of her daily activities, like walking. Her depth perception has been affected, and so she's unstable.
Something ABC's Victor Oquendo noticed while walking with Clara, holding her hand.
She's unstable right now. Walking is difficult for her.
And asking her in Spanish how much this has changed her life.
Mucho, mucho, mucho. 1,000%, 2,000%.
1,000%.
The drop sold under the brands Esri Care and Del Sam Pharma. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The Federal Reserve raising interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point this week. It's the latest in a string of rate hikes since last year. ABC's Rebecca Jarvis says not even the recent bank failures swayed the Fed's actions.
This is the hard part in the entire scheme of the Fed's rate hikes, because on the one hand, they're doing this to drive down prices. We're paying right now about $395 more every month on the same goods and services because of inflation as we were a year ago. At the same time, borrowing across the board costs more money. So if you look at credit cards, those have gone from about a 16% average APR to now a 20% average APR, and they will go up in the next 1 to 2 billing cycles.
Will they or won't they? A grand jury in New York City has yet to determine whether former President Trump will face an indictment over a hush money payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. ABC's Aaron Katursky, following the case all week this week, says that there are indications that the grand jury is wrapping up its investigation.
The grand jury hearing evidence of former President Trump's accounting of a 2016 hush payment to a porn actress convened Thursday, but to consider evidence in a different case. It is not uncommon for grand juries to consider multiple cases at once, and sources told ABC News the Trump case will go back before the grand jury Monday, when at least one additional witness may be called. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office declined to comment on secret grand jury matters. Trump had said on social media he expected to be arrested by now, and he called for protests, which have so far failed to materialize. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Coming up, the many sounds and sides to dementia, when World News This Week continues. A bittersweet birthday celebration for actor Bruce Willis this week. Willis is battling an aggressive form of dementia, and his family says they hope to shine a light of what it's like to have a loved one with the condition. More from ABC's Jason Nathanson.
In one video on Instagram, posted by Bruce Willis's ex-wife, Demi Moore, the whole family's gathered around singing happy birthday. His daughter's with Moore, his current wife Emma, and others. Willis can be seen enjoying himself and blowing out the candles. But in a separate post, Emma reveals that caring for Willis, who was diagnosed with dementia, and their two kids can be a lot.
I do have times of sadness every day. Grief every day.
And she teared up when talking about the support she's getting from his fans.
It means so much to me, so thank you.
Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
ABC's David Muir has the story of another family where the power of music has helped them deal with the harsh realities of the disease.
95-year-old Elaine LaBarre. She's been battling dementia for 15 years. Her family telling us she is slipping away with this disease. But when she sits at the piano, well, her daughter Randy requests a song.
You want me to play it?
Asking for Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. Elaine, unsure at first, saying she doesn't know it.
I don't know it.
That's fine.
Daughter telling us they are sharing these videos to spread awareness on dementia education and music therapy. Elaine playing every day at Keystone Place Senior Living Community. Playing Chopin's Minute Waltz. There's Getting to Know You. Could have danced all night.
Hi, David.
Elaine and her daughter and her performance.
Maybe you can play some Mozart.
Elaine's proud daughter, Randy.
I've heard from people all over the world that she has made an impact on. And it's been an amazing experience for all of us.
And those are the people and events that made World News This Week. World News This Week was written and produced by Joy Piazza. I'm Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.